But I do want to introduce our special guest today. It's a lady named Stacy Powers. Stacy is one of our missionaries that is supported every single week in your tithes and offerings through the cooperative program. She's one of our International Mission Board missionaries, which is the IMB, which is what we shorten it down to. Our International Missions, which is right in the name, so it makes sense, right? She's been with the IMB for 25 years, and actually the past, since last fall, I guess it is, she's been here in the area and having some stateside assignment here. She's actually going to be headed back to Zambia, where she's been the last 8 or 9 years. Is that right? 8 or somewhere in there? I don't know. Something like that. But she'll be heading back there in about a week and a half. But we've asked her to come share with us today, so Stacy, it's all yours.
Sorry. Okay. I thought I was on. So a 4-year-old boy looked at my tires and said, "Oh, you have new tires." And I thought, okay, a boy is a boy, no matter the continent, no matter the age. Even at 4, he recognized I had those new tires. But you provide those things. You provide a place for me to live. You provide repairs for my truck, Bibles to be used, everything I need, training to update and then to share with Zambians, and I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for that you provided a plane ride, and you will again in a few weeks for me to return to Zambia, but I'm also grateful you provided that flight back last fall so that I could have a stateside assignment. I could see that I'd been there 4 years since my return to Zambia in 2015. I was away a bit before that, longer than normal, because my husband was diagnosed with cancer and passed away. And again, your generosity provided me a year of being here after he passed away, and I'm very grateful for that. But I'd been back for 4 years, and I could see that I was getting a little bit more impatient and just kind of beginning to need some time away. So thank you for that. There's a video. I'll go ahead and do that. We'll do that now. And you can see some times of ministry, but also just a lot of cultural pictures. You see children with the toys that they've made, and you can just have a little glimpse of life in Zambia through that video. So in addition to your gifts, I'm grateful for your prayers. I spoke a few right before I went back, not long before I went back in 2015. And I'm grateful for your support through prayers. It's such a gift that we can be involved in what God is doing, even in these ministries that were spoken, that you're giving for this fall. We get to have a part through the giving, but it's such a joy too that we get to have a part in what God is doing as we pray. As people come to faith in different parts of the world, you have a part in that as you pray for missions. And if you want to pray specifically for me, there's a prayer update list on the table outside where you can write your name and your email address, and I will add you to that list. Jeff and I worked in the area of church planning together. You know, it was mostly his job. People looked to him. But I was always very active in working with the women and working with children. When I went back, I was given his job description. So I'm working myself in the area of church development. So I do a lot of evangelism, do a lot of discipleship. I make sure the leaders are trained, so that they are starting groups and doing evangelism and doing discipleship. And, it's an area that I love ever since high school, and I had people investing in me and discipling me. I've wanted to be that and do that, for others. But since coming home, I've just, had time for some training areas, of training and, time to spend with people and to encourage people here, I hope, as well. And just time to examine myself, look deep into the recesses and see where maybe I'm overlooking sin or just areas that I want to stay current on confession. And, of course, I do that all the time. But this has just been a time for me to step away from being responsible and getting to do that. So thank you. I want to be somebody who denies myself, who takes up my cross. And as I look at the needs, as the shortfalls with Heart of Texas Camp, with Annie Armstrong, the North American Mission Board, that all of this hit, COVID hit right at the time that we were supposed to be having our Annie Armstrong offering for North American missions, and it's affected the International Mission Board as well, the giving. So I want to be somebody who denies myself in that area as well as my time and my gifts. One way that you can be informed of current needs with IMB is if you have a smartphone, there's an app that you can get, and there's daily requests there. There's an emphasis right now. It's our 175th year as an organization, and so there's 175 days of prayer that's kind of gives you insight to the needs of missions, but every day on that app or through an email, there's a new prayer request. So there's ways to be informed, to pray specifically. I believe God wants us to pray specifically for needs, for people, for individuals, for churches. When I did leave last October, it was a hard time to leave because the rainy season of the year before was not a good one. I remember about 3 days of rain or something like that. It just was a very bad year. So people were without their corn, which is their staple food in my area, their subsistence farmers. Almost everybody raises a crop, even if they have another job. They will raise corn and maybe some other things, but they will raise enough corn, and it's much like our field corn. They call it maize. They will raise enough to sell some of it, and so that they can get other needs furnished, like school fees, or just they can buy other things to make their diet healthier. Fish or greens or something like that if they haven't grown them themselves. So when that crop fails, it is a disaster. I come from a farming family, but I don't remember ever being without a meal during a bad year. But they were going without food, some of them, for a day or more, or at least sometimes at least a meal for a long period of time, one meal a day. So it was hard to leave knowing that I could give and I could do a feeding project. But God provided. There's some ladies that I did a Bible study with and helped them with selling some baskets that they made. They came to visit the orphanage again where I live, but don't work there, but know all the people, and a lot of those that work there do go out with me at times, and they came to one of the girls that works there and said, we are hungry. She sent a message to me on the phone, and they were saying, you know, Stacy, we're hungry. She told them that day that, because she herself, she works there, she has an income, so she's helping them, she's giving of her income to help those in need. She was writing to her friends in the capital to get more money, and she was helping to sell baskets to help these ladies with their needs. But she said, you have to depend on the Lord. You can't depend on Stacy, and you can't depend on me. You have to trust the Lord. So they said, well, let's go into your office right now and pray. And so this was this took place around Christmas or so. The rainy season starts really good around December, but it had gone weeks and still it wasn't raining. This might have been January, in fact. And so they were fearful that they would have another bad year. But they went in and prayed, and even Chupo, who is a godly girl, she's 25. I love her. She challenges me. She's grew up in the capital of Zambia and Lusaka, and But just as she's telling, as a Zambian telling these ladies that they had to trust the Lord, and they said, well, let's go pray. And she was saying, yes, let's go. But she was even doubting, she said, at that point, because there had not been rain. But the next day it poured. And then that was the beginning of the rainy season. And then they've come back since giving her gifts of food and bearing testimony of increased faith. So as much as I wanted to be there, I'm grateful that God used Chipo and just used his power to so that their trust, their faith has grown. That is a need, though. Sometimes that's an area that you can pray. I'm hearing that there's going to be needs. They did have a good harvest last year, many of them. But some, they had army worms. Even though they had rain, there was army worms that prevented some from having a good harvest. So I will need wisdom as I go back just to know where to help, how to help. And so you can pray for that. I love learning about culture. You can see from the pictures, just you saw the ladies making the baskets. I went early on. They would come to the orphanage when Americans came, especially to sell these baskets. So I wanted to see how they made them. And a friend took me to see them. There were a lot of ladies gathered making baskets. So I also took the time, of course, to tell a Bible story. And that started something that continued. There would be many ladies that would come. So I continued to go and tell them stories. But their husbands never would come. When I saw them, they were drunk. Almost every man in that area, if I saw them, no matter what time of day, they were drinking. So, I knew that without the men, that those groups would not continue. So I encouraged them to bring their husbands so that they could, come to faith. They could hear the truths of gospel, and so that a group would be started, and those men would be the leaders. But they never came. And so there was another group that needed to be discipled, needed to be encouraged. And that's the thing: when you're sharing the gospel, there's new groups, new people that need to be discipled, and just I need wisdom always to know where to continue to go. So since I wasn't going there to tell the stories, they came with this other group and would come and hear the stories and go back and tell them to the people that didn't make it. They would walk an hour to get there and then an hour to get back. Ennis came to me after one of the Bible studies and was crying because her husband had kicked her out of the house. And I began to pray that God would use this time to show her husband his need of him, to bring him to faith. But I saw that happening months down the road or even years. But just in a couple of weeks, he called and he wanted to speak with me. So she and I together shared the gospel with him. As he heard what was being said, I asked him what he thought. And he says, now that I've heard this, I have to follow it. So over time, people saw a difference in his life. He was somebody who drank. He was one of these guys that I would see drunk. He hasn't quit that completely. I've been gone for almost a year, so perhaps he has by now. But he was drinking less and less. People saw a change in his life. People saw a difference in their family life. So now I'm training him, discipling. And there was a man that's getting involved in discipling him that's a Zambian that works at the orphanage. I pray for more men to stand up like him. I drive back and forth to the place that Jeff and I lived before and very often go into the market and just share the gospel, go with different people from the churches. The Zambians, even with not having a lot, they're very generous. I was there once just right around lunchtime, just going around talking to different people, and was fed three times in one day, one lunchtime, because the people are so generous. There was one man who I used to, he seemed so excited and wanted, as we brought training for starting churches and leadership training, he wanted to be involved and just kept asking when that was going to happen. And so I was very excited about this man. And he introduced me to his friend who had dreadlocks, and I'd heard that he smoked marijuana. There's a lot of that in our area. And I was glad to meet him and share the gospel with him. And very often, there's a lot of people there in Zambia that consider themselves Christians. But many of them are in churches which teach a works-based salvation. They think that being a good person, being a church member, is going to get them into heaven. Many of them even think that being a member of the choir, that's what's going to get them into heaven. So, this friend with the dreadlocks, I'll call him Peter, he is in one of those churches. So he was faithful to that church. But when he heard the truth of salvation in Jesus alone, he understood it immediately, and God can do that. He brings people and gives them understanding sometimes immediately. But sometimes because of this, so they're so deeply entrenched in doing all these works for salvation, sometimes it takes a couple of conversations before they really understand that it is Jesus alone who saves them. But Peter, immediately he understood. And just as he heard the stories, as we continued to go back and teach him, one of the church leaders and I did that together. And he you could just see in his face the excitement and the interest. And he said that what he was hearing, even though he was a faithful church member, what he was hearing was different than what he had ever heard. And he would tell the stories then to his friends and share the gospel with his friends. Just by looks, he wasn't the one that I would have expected to be the one who would be so faithful. I was expected Michael, who kept asking about the training. But as we actually studied the Bible, he was up and around and couldn't sit still, and just doesn't seem to be so faithful. But Peter is showing himself to be. So again, just the looks, sometimes what you expect to happen is not what does, or those that seem that they're going to be faithful are not necessarily. But Rhodia has been one that's been faithful from the beginning. She has been in so many different churches and knows much of Scripture, but it wasn't until a Baptist person that came and told her the truth of salvation that she really understood and put her faith in Jesus. And she's decided that the Baptist church, she will stick with it. She will not go on, because she believes that that the Baptist church is teaching truth. She has wisdom. God has given her wisdom and discernment. I went to her house one time and saw a Watchtower magazine, Jehovah's Witness magazine, and I was in my mind getting my verses ready to explain to her why she shouldn't be reading that magazine, or why she shouldn't believe what it says. But she got it, and she says, "Look, they say this, but God's word says this." So she didn't need for me to explain to her. I'm grateful for Rhodia, for the way she stands up to truth. Sometimes it's easier not to point out the things. Very often Africans in my area, there's the traditional beliefs, and there's so many that follow Scripture and closely follow it. But there can be a real pull to go back into those old ways and old beliefs when things get hard, when you don't have a good crop, when you lose the fourth baby in a row, or when you lose a spouse. But Rhodia, she sees those things. She makes me aware. Sometimes it's easier to keep it hidden from the foreigner. But if she sees something, she makes me aware. But she also, if she sees something in the church, she just quietly works with others and has made sure that those things don't continue. And so I love her. I appreciate her. She's very honest with me and has helped me much in my understanding of culture. She is one that I hear did not have a good harvest. So I pray that her faith will grow. I will help her, but just need wisdom in that. One of the leader's wives had a difficult pregnancy, but the baby was born and was healthy, but she just didn't recover as soon as she normally does. And so she was feeling that pull to go back to some of the old ways. And we encouraged her. We counseled her. Her husband encouraged her not to go back. And so that caused problems in their family. It also, if they continued to have problems, that was going to cause problems in his ministry. So I was very concerned about her. She was always at church, but when you would talk to her, you talked about how to have a relationship with Jesus, she would go back to being baptized and all these works. So I just kept sharing the faith. Other leaders, other men, other women kept sharing the faith and praying with her. Before I came back, a volunteer team came, and the husband had an opportunity to go to another town and possibly get some money to invest in a new business, as he said, in some training. But she encouraged him to stay, do the work of the Lord. And as I was leaving, she was going, she would say that it is Jesus alone that brings salvation. So I'm grateful for God. It took time. It took her hearing it over and over and over again. But the leaders just stood up and bore testimony of his family being together, of his wife being with him, and his wife encouraging him to do the work of the Lord. So sometimes we just have to wait. In Isaiah 30, 18, I'll read that and skip down. Therefore, the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are those who wait for him. And I just, sometimes I live my life, I think, the way, or I expect God to treat me the way I deserve to be treated. I'm learning more and more about grace, how he longs to be gracious to us, how he longs to give us good gifts. He doesn't, I don't think I deserve them, so I just think he should withhold them to teach me something. But he longs to give us good gifts. And I just pray that those, that the Zambians would be patient, would wait on him. Jeff, when he was sick, one of the first verses right after he was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer, he quickly went to the Psalms. And one of the verses that was especially meaningful to him was Psalm 103:14. For he knows our frame, he remembers that we are but dust. So that just encouraged him, as God looks at our frailty and loves us anyway. That was a big encouragement to him. When I went back to Zambia to do the work that we had done together, to do it alone, that verse encouraged me in another way. That we are but dust. I am but dust. And what could possibly be expected of dust? I knew that if God was going to do anything, it was going to be him that did it, not me. And my faith has increased. Sometimes I just have to keep preaching to myself and reminding myself not to take it on myself, to take on all these needs. I love being there with the Zambians. I love knowing them. I love knowing the culture. I love walking through their difficult times with them. But I have to be careful not to take on that with family needs here, with struggles here, and those needs there. And I'm grateful that God will do it, that he didn't expect me to take it on, that it is his work, but that he lets me be a part. By being there, I get to be there, you get to be there and have a part in different ways. I get to have a part in what's going on in other parts of the world through prayer. In Ephesians 2, 1, it says, and you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath like the rest of mankind. That's who you once were. If you are in Christ, this is who you now are. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved. Oh, please pray that the people of Zambia, the Batonga, the Baila, from the area where I am, that they will understand that it is grace. And raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Jesus, in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved. Those are gifts. This is God's greatest gift. He's given us so many. He wants to be gracious with us. He doesn't treat us the way we deserve. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not a result of works, so that no one may boast. God's greatest gift. But this also is a great gift. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which he prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Does it bother you that those first three verses, that doesn't describe you, but it describes so many? How does that affect your life, that it still describes people? Does it concern you? As I walk, I want to walk in those works that God has prepared in advance for me to walk in them. There's so many good things that I could walk in, but I want to walk in those things that God has prepared in advance for me to walk in them. That there are still people who are still dead in their trespasses and sin, following the course of the world, that gives us work to do. John Piper says that we are the debtors of those who are in that place still. We have a job to do. It's a job, it's a serious job, but it's also a gift that he's given us that job to do.
Okay, we're going to make you stay up here. Stay up here for a minute. when God said go and make disciples of all nations, he meant it. He really did. And it's different to go to another culture, another country, another continent. I can't imagine the jet lag you're going to have in a couple of weeks and getting back used to that. But it's not often you have an opportunity like this to have a missionary right here. So we want to just take a moment, if that's all right. Well, let's do a little question time, if you're okay with that. So you might have questions about what it is to live in Africa, what the mission looks like, anything you want. We want to do those questions before we kind of move on. And I'll start off while you're thinking. My question is this. You've spent 25 years with the IMB, but not all of it in Zambia. So where else have you served?
I was just at a university. I was in Liberia and Ghana. I had to leave Liberia because of a war in Liberia and served in Ghana. So West Africa. And then after meeting Jeff in seminary, we went back to Botswana and were there for 11 years.
Okay. Questions? Now, this is going to be weird because you'll ask your question and I'll repeat it so our online people can know what, because they're not going to be, they'll be scratching their heads and go, what's she talking about? So any questions you want to ask Stacy? Let me repeat this. What spiritual gifts? You mentioned spiritual gifts earlier. Which ones does she want to have that the Holy Spirit could give her to take back with her to Zambia, to how we can be praying for her too?
Yes, I just discovered last year. I always thought my spiritual gift was teaching, and I think it still is, but shepherding is what it came up on two different inventories last year as being my gift. So, but I need wisdom in that. So I think to answer your question, just I love the shepherding. I love being there, but just wisdom to know when to help, how to help. I audited a class on Mercy Ministries. That can be a full-time job, just meeting physical needs. But that's not my main job, but I want to do it. So just I need wisdom to know which villages to go into, the people, because I can't do it all. I can't do everything. So always need wisdom. That's been a prayer request from the day I left, and it's still there. And that I wouldn't take on those jobs, that I would just trust the Lord and not worry, and which is, you know, since my husband passed away, as much as I wanted to trust in the Lord, I realized how much I trusted in a husband and even in the past, my parents. And so I just want to trust in him. So faith and discernment. Thank you for that question, for that.
Anyone else? Alex? Or do you want to repeat the question? You can repeat it. I don't need to be up here. Well, the question was this. How long did it take you to find your new normal once you got on the mission field? How long till that felt like home? How long till that felt normal? Was that...
Once I first... I loved it from the beginning. I have never wanted to leave and come home. I may need to. Jeff always said we have to be willing to go back, just like we were willing to go to Africa. And so it was, I think, easy for me to live there. You know, they talk about people getting set in their ways. I think when I moving back and forth, being married, losing a husband, I hope I'm not setting my ways. Things are always changing for me so much that, yeah, there's always new normals. And wherever I go, there's new normals. So I don't know.
All right. Anyone else? I know some of you are thinking it because I hear you ask missionaries all the time from Africa, you ever eaten crickets or grasshoppers? Did you hear them? They started laughing. They knew where it was coming. People wonder that.
Termites. The Zambians love, after when the first rain, the first good rain comes, the termites just swarm. Their leaves come off and they're big. And so they fry them and eat them. I've eaten them. It's much easier to eat termites than it is for me to eat intestines and stomach. So, and we eat little fish, fried fish. Just those are not bad.
And that is not the norm for missionaries. That's not your normal diet. We want to make sure that's clear.
Yeah, I don't eat those things.
What
all
do
the
Zambians
time.
Normally eat? What's the normal diet look like for them?
They have their maize that they make grind. It's white. They are eating some orange. And several years ago, probably decades ago now, they talk about they were given yellow cornmeal from the U.S. during a really bad season, and that it's bad if they have to eat yellow cornmeal. They do not like yellow cornmeal. So they finally grind the white cornmeal and make a porridge, a thick porridge, somewhat like grits, but it's thicker. They eat that every day, sometimes three times a day. If they don't have it, they might have rice or something like that, but if they haven't had Nshima, then they just feel like they haven't eaten, and they can eat big old clumps of it. But they'll eat that with soup, with greens, or fish, maybe chicken, but a lot of fish in where I live. And my favorite is they'll take greens and mix grounded groundnuts or peanuts. So it's kind of a peanut butter, and it's lovely. It might not sound that way, but it's wonderful.
All right, last call. Anyone else? All right, well, what we're going to do, we're going to ask Brendan Huff to come up here. Brendan is one of the proposed people to head up the mission team for this next year. That with the ballots, we've been taking the gathering ballots and all that, that are due tomorrow. And he's one of the people we've been voting on to head up our mission team, to co-chair that with Rusty Wheelington. And so we've asked Brendan to come and lead us in a word of prayer. So we want you to do something a little bit different today. You know, wherever you're sitting or wherever else, just kind of reach out your arms towards Stacy. We're not going to lay hands on her because, you know, we want her to be able to go back to Zambia in a week and a half. And, you know, so we're going to do it this way, okay? So you all right? You comfortable enough doing that? So just hold out your hands to her while Brendan leads us in prayer for her.
God, be with Stacy as she prepares to go back to Zambia here in a week and a half. Lord, just help her to know that you're with her going back, and that you've had a plan this whole time, and that she goes back refreshed and just ready to continue the ministry you have for her there. Lord, just provide her with wisdom as she goes on in what villages to continue to minister to, what villages to not have as much of a role in, and what villages to start ministering in, Lord, and just same with the people, Lord, just help her to know how to best help them and how best to minister to them and serve them. Lord, just give her the resources that you're going to provide, and just you set those in place already, but just help her to find them when she needs them, and to not be in need, but to just rely on you, Lord, in all that she's doing, Lord. Help her to follow you and grow closer to you through all of this. In Jesus' name, amen.